You're listening to the PsychHikes podcast, your number one source for junior cycle and leaving cert tips. We make exams easier. Hi everyone and welcome back to the PsychHikes podcast. A bit of a different episode from us today. I feel like we actually say that all the time. Maybe there's no consistency with the PsychHikes podcast, but you're listening to two newish people. You might be familiar with me, Nessa. I hosted the PsychHikes podcast when we first launched it a long time ago, but I only kind of come as a guest appearance every now and again. But today I am joined by someone who has not been on the PsychHikes podcast before. Gabrielle, you are very welcome to the PsychHikes podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
We have both worked at PsychHikes for a long time, so it's like kind of cool that you're finally, and I've thought for a while that like you would be a great guest on the podcast, especially today when we're doing tips for language learning, because I feel like you are queen of languages. you and Emer, previous host of the PsychHikes podcast. And so yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself, your StudyClicks background, and like why you are on as a guest for language learning.
So basically I've been working at StudyClicks for the last 5 years. I do like tasks relating to social media. I run the Instagram page and I also do customer support. So if you ever like send in a message to StudyClicks, it's likely me that's going to answer it on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. But one thing that I absolutely adore is learning languages. I did 3 for my Leaving Cert, German, Japanese and Irish. And since finishing the Leaving Cert, I moved to France. And so I've been learning that as well. 2 years ago, I passed my DELFE B2 exam, so it's like kind of just a little bit above a Leaving Cert in French, and so I have a lot of tips to give for language learning, and I'm very happy to come on the podcast today and share them.
Yeah, so exciting, because it's quite similar for me. So yeah, I also do social media. I am like the overall social media manager, even though I'm kind of like, I delegate more than I actually do social these days. I said that I would guest host on this podcast because I also live abroad. So neither me or Gabrielle live in Ireland. I moved to Barcelona last year and I am currently trying to learn Spanish. So I didn't have Spanish really before I moved here, apart from, you know, maybe like a 70-day streak on Duolingo. And I made like valiant efforts to learn Spanish over the years. I remember in TY, I was like, we were, or like our head of TY, I'm not sure if he did something similarly in TY as well, that like he was like, you all have to, I want you all to set a goal. He said this in September. He's like, and, you know, try and learn that goal by the end of TY. And he never mentioned it again. Were you going to give us any tips for goal setting or like, so I just like set this goal of learning Spanish, but I never actually learned it because I had no structure for learning a language. I just was like, I would love to learn Spanish. And that was years ago, whatever, in TY and over the pandemic as well. I was like, I'm really going to try and learn Spanish. But now I have moved to Spain and it's obviously so much easier to learn a language when you are in the country where they're speaking it and you have way more opportunities for conversation practice. And I know that's not going to be the case for anyone listening to this day who's preparing for their Leaving Cert. But I thought I could bring an interesting perspective of like what I've learned from trying to learn Spanish and what has helped me. And yeah, I'm really excited as well for us to have this conversation about languages and tips, basically.
It's really interesting to hear, Nessa, that you had that experience, that learning a language has been so much easier now that you're in Spain. I really wish I had that when I first moved to France, because I kind of moved to France without knowing like any French whatsoever. And that's, I thought, crazy. By just existing here, I would like soak up, you know, like French. But I found myself like 3 years into living French and like barely being able to like speak still. And so I definitely think that there are so many things that students can do from Ireland to like really get better at like Spanish, French, German, you know, Irish. There's so many resources out there online and there's so many different methods that you can use.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I do have friends here who have lived here a lot, much longer than I have, and they understand Spanish quite well, but they cannot speak it. And I think that is a lot of that the conversation that we're going to have today is like, if you want to learn a language, you really have to put in a consistent effort with it. And there are so many things that you can do without actually living in the country like we do, that can, or there's things that I'm doing now to really like help improve my understanding of Spanish. Because like I said, I have been here a year and I'm kind of saying the only thing I can do with confidence is order coffee. I really know how to order coffee. Like I have that down, but like I had to go to like a government, I had to do something with my taxes the other day and had to go to a government building that I cannot do.
Oh gosh.
So I was like, I set myself this goal. Well, actually, when we talk about motivation for learning a language and things like this, I remember I was on the bus home from the airport there one day and it made a stop. And there was actually like a group of Irish people about to get on the bus and they were asking the driver something and the driver could only speak Spanish and they were all getting so confused. And I was sitting at the back of the bus being like, oh, I want to be that. I so badly want to be that person that just like walks up and goes, guys, what are you trying to say? Let me translate for you. And then like me being the hero. So I was just like, when that happened, I was like, that's my goal. I want to be able to be that person who goes up, like is like the translator, is like can like merge these two people together through communication. And so yeah, in this podcast we're going to like go through the structure of the different exams if you are studying a language for specifically the Leading Cert. But this is honestly, the earlier you're listening to this podcast, the better. If you're listening to this in second year, you have time on your side. That is like the biggest thing of helping with a learning a language. Like the more time you can put into it, the better. But I'm quite aware that a lot of people listening to this are probably like in sixth year, and they're seeing this because they're like, my oral exams are in a few weeks, and I want to get good at language. Like, don't worry. As you say, time is definitely the best thing to have. But everything that we're talking about here, like the tips that we're going to give, as much of that as you can take on board, that is all going to help. 100%. Because there is still time. There is actually, I say there's less time, but obviously there's loads of time between depending on when you're listening to this, but like there's so much that you can do to help like prepare yourself to get better at a language.
Yeah, and it's a lot easier to get better at a language than it is to get worse. So time is definitely on your side. Even if you're listening to this in March or April, you still have time to like improve before the exams.
Actually, one of the first things I was going to say before we got into it is that sometimes when it comes to learning a language, one of the biggest kind of blockers that you can have at yourself is just like believing that you cannot do it. Or just like you could be listening to like a tape, like in class, you could be practicing the oral section and you hear them speaking in French and you're just like, they are speaking so fast. Like I know that I've had moments in learning a language where I'm just like, I can't do this. Like, I'm never going to be able to understand this. Or like in Irish, when you're doing like all the grammar rules. Like, I remember getting back an essay in Irish and being like all the red lines of like all the tiny little grammar errors. And I was like, when am I going, like, I'm never going to, that's so much to do.
Yeah.
And I was saying this to you before we started recording that like one of the best lessons that I ever learned was learning to drive. So like I learned to drive after school and I remember finding it so difficult. It took me so long to learn how to drive. And I remember having this moment, like at some point where I was just like learning and learning and learning and I was getting nowhere. I was got the whole thing with the gears and having to remember to do everything else. It just felt so unnatural to me. And it felt like really hard. I was like, this is a really difficult thing to do. And I think it's for the fact that I was like, nearly every adult I know learns how to drive. I was like, boys in my class know how to drive. So I was like, they all learned how to do this. I think if it weren't for like knowing that it is possible, that was like, all right, it just has to happen because there's no way nearly everyone knows how to do this. And I do remember having that feeling of it just clicking one day, you know, that I could learn how to drive. And I think having been in that moment of just being like, I can't do this, and then actually getting past it and being able to do it, I know that I can apply that to language learning. I had it with Irish as well. Yeah. I remember in sixth year, because we were just practicing so much for the oral exams, that I got to a point where I was like, oh, Irish is clicking with me. I know, and I'll say this up front, I went to a Gaelic school, so that was a huge advantage. Mm-hmm. But I do remember that, like, all the practice, the conversation practice, eventually something just happened in my brain and I got there.
It's incredible.
So we're like, this podcast is tips for language learning. So very likely if you're listening to this, you're probably studying either French or Spanish or German or Italian. We'll probably kind of mostly talk about French and German because those are like the three that we did between us. I wouldn't be confident talking too much about Spanish because I didn't actually do it for the Leaving Cert. I'm kind of coming at it from the perspective of language learning itself. But yeah, we're going to break up each exam because they're all divided by the oral, the written, the comprehension, and we'll talk about the big scary oral exam last and like the tips that you can, there's so much that you can do like to get better at a language. And we have so many tips that we want to share from our own experience of learning a language. So we'll get straight into it.
So starting with the listening part of the exam, which is going to be a part of like German, Spanish, French, Irish, basically every language subject has this like listening part. And from doing Flex Study Click social media over the last 5 years, I've kind of noticed that every single year students tend to remark that the oral tape went by way, way too quickly, as sometimes students can get a little bit lost because they feel as though it goes like really fast. And because I saw that this seems to be like quite a common issue year to year, I want to say that if you don't want to be in this sort of scenario, in this case where you feel like it's going way too fast, I think right now is the time to actually start, you know, like listening to different pieces of media in German, in Spanish, or whatever subject you are studying. When I was preparing for my German oral, I kind of noticed that every single year there was this like news piece that comes up. So basically they talk about, you know, the weather or different events that have happened in Germany. And this you can actually like prepare ahead of time because you know for a fact that you are going to get a question on the weather. And so listening to different podcasts like News in Slow German, News in Slow French will really prepare you for this.
News in Slow French and German is a really good idea. So I imagine, is that everywhere where you listen to podcasts, you just type in news?
Yeah, exactly. You can find it on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere.
I have so many different examples of like podcasts and TV shows and YouTube videos that are like suited to language learning. One of my like my favorites right now for learning Spanish, I came across it on TikTok and I think it's really helping my understanding, is a channel called Dreaming Spanish. Mm-hmm. We'll put the links of everything that we're talking about in the description of the episode. And it's the language learning method that is comprehensible input. It's basically people, just normal YouTube videos, like they're kind of like vloggers. They're talking about like random topical things, but what they're doing is they're speaking entirely in Spanish. There's no subtitles. There's not even Spanish subtitles. You're just listening to the language, and depending on your level, they will have like visuals in the background to help you like understand. They would be just like hola, like, you know, like doing the wave, and then like yo soy, and like pointing to themselves. Like they're just kind of like, it's like, it's the, you're watching it and you're absorbing the sounds. And I think I started listening to that a couple of months ago, and I think my understanding of Spanish has definitely improved. So that's one of my favorite ones. Something I also listen to is the Duolingo podcast. Yeah. It's quite, I don't think they've updated any new episodes in a while, but they have so many episodes like in their back catalog. And basically it's just like easy to understand stories in Spanish. And someone always, it's a kind of half in Spanish, half in English. So they'll talk in Spanish and then there'll be a bit of context in English. So like as you're listening, you're kind of understanding the story. Do you have any examples of like, what are your favorite shows on like Netflix or anything like that?
I don't really watch so many like shows on Netflix, to be honest with you, but there is a wonderful channel called Arte, and basically they do like documentaries in both German and French. And I think if you tinker around a little bit with a VPN, you should be able to access it for free as well. They have loads of really interesting like documentaries about nature and like, you know, history and everything, but in French or in German. And so I would actually really recommend, you know, if you want to get better at a language without any effort whatsoever, it's just to like consume content that you'd like to typically like, you know, look at on YouTube or on social media, but in your target language. Like when I first like moved to France, I thought like, okay, you know, I want to improve my French. I will start looking at these like, well, I'll start watching these YouTubers that speak in French. And when I first started watching these videos, I was like, I did not understand anything whatsoever. I suppose like French is one of those languages where people speak like really, really fast. So I couldn't even tell like what words they were like saying. I couldn't even like write them down, you know? But it's crazy that as you know, like continuously like watch these like videos or these like movies in these different languages, you'll be so surprised as to like, you know, how quickly you start to understand things.
This is it. And like that's where that moment of like, I can't do this when learning a language happens, where you like listen to someone speak French and you're like, I've been learning French for how many years, and like I didn't understand a word of it. Like it could be so daunting. And this is where I would say, do not underestimate the power of your brain. It's a point that we'll bring up again, but it's just like you know more than you think you do, especially like getting nervous going into the oral exam being like, I can't say a word of French. You know more than you think you do. And also it is amazing how much your brain can absorb by just listening. Another tip that language learners give, I don't really use it myself, but it's just like, if you could have like the news on in the background or a radio station on the background, you're not even listening to it. You don't even have to understand it, but your brain is kind of subconsciously picking up on the sounds. And the more that you listen to that, the more that you will understand. Like it is, your brain is amazing. It's picking up the stuff by osmosis. And then if you are doing that consistently enough, you will actually find that you are understanding better than you can. So the more that you can listen to a language, the the more kind of better prepared you're going to feel going into the oral. Like there'll still be, you'll still listen to the oral tape and they could be talking way faster than you know, but like you'll pick up different sounds. You're like, oh yeah, I know that. Some other examples. So we have like French and German. For Irish, actually, there's a lot of new podcasts out now. One of my favorites is like How to Gael. Three girls do it. They're brilliant. They're speaking in a mixture of English and Irish. So like even if you don't understand Irish, you are able to understand what they're talking about. Another one I like that is more so in Irish is Sail Bio, which is just like kind of like nice little stories from like around different places in Ireland. Another new one I think is called Gaeling, which is three lads that are, again, I think there's one who's an Irish speaker and then there's two who were wanting to learn. So they're like doing a mixture, like they're throwing in Cúpla Focal every now and again. So stuff that's actually like that is directed at language learners. Oh, for if we're sticking with Irish, because we one of our tips as well is just like watch movies and TV shows. That's like such a great way of passive learning. For Irish, my number one recommendation, I can't believe it's still on the Gigi Gahar player, is Passion Fashion. It is so funny. It's from like the mid 2000s. It's a reality TV dating show. In Irish. Let me just explain the concept to you because it's so funny. It's so chaotic. So there's like a girl and they have like, she's three like prospect lads who want to go on a date with her. They're like, so they all meet the girl. So she meets them and she'd be like, okay, yeah. So she might have like one that she fancies more than the other, but then they go off shopping for her. They have the like, they have the goal of buying an outfit for her. They're given like 500 euro.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they all go into a different shop and they pick an outfit. And like the outfits are like, they're always so chronic. Like they're so bad.
Oh, no.
But then like at the end, she like tries on every outfit. Like the lads aren't there. Like she tries on each outfit and she's like, yeah, I like this. So then like at the end, they bring the lads back in and then she walks out in her favorite outfit. And then the guy who picked that outfit, they go on a date.
I love that concept. Oh my God.
It's so fun. Yeah. And there's another similar one. It's, it's so funny. Like, and it's all in Irish. So it's like, if you're watching that and you're reading the subtitles, like you're, again, you're tuning your ear to the Irish language. That's my number one recommendation. I know there's a SpongeBob movie in Irish. There's Shrek in Irish. Maybe having, because I know like people who are listening to this are in school and they have like six or seven other subjects. Like the language is only one small part of it. But the thing with language is like the consistency is the best thing. I think if you have something like a reminder on your phone that says like watch or listen to something in French or German and just like have that or make it part of your routine, that's something that you do in the morning on the bus to school or like when you go for a walk in the evening, you listen to like 15 minutes. Mm. Another podcast I like as well, which I'll drop the link in the description, is Coffee Break French. Have you heard of that?
I've never heard of it, no.
It's called Coffee Break because they're only like 15 minutes long. Each one will be like going to the doctor or like getting on public transport. That's another great resource. The section of our podcast is very clunky because I'm like me just randomly remembering different things that I used to learn languages, but we'll drop them all in the description. There's stuff for everything. I would say with Netflix, actually, you can go on to Netflix and there's a section up the top that says browse by language, because I know we give our recommendations for like different shows, but then obviously Netflix like changes what's on it every now and again. But I know it's classic, but the Netflix Spanish recommendations I have are Money Heist, Valeria is another one. I know it might be, I think it's like advertised as like the Sex of the City of like so I know that maybe like a less age appropriate example from me, but that's what I recommend doing, is going onto Netflix and searching by language. You'll find something.
Yeah, for sure. And I think particularly because it can be so overwhelming when you have like six or seven subjects to study for. And at the end of the day, you might be feeling a little bit tired. You don't really want to do any extra study. If you find a TV show that's really interesting to watch or like a fun movie, it won't really feel like you're studying a language. It will just feel like, oh, you're watching something for like the fun of it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. That's what I'm saying. Like language learning is probably like one of the most best suited to just like your own self-learning, because there's so much that you can do just to kind of support your understanding, like beyond the classroom.
100%. Yeah. You know, it's crazy, actually. Like now that I've lived in France for the last couple of years, I've met so, so many French people who are basically like fluent at speaking English. And I always ask them like, oh, did you spend some time in an Anglophone country? Did you like do English in school? And they always say like, no, but they, you know, like really love like watching movies in English, or they played video games in English when they were children. That's how they learned. They found it like much more useful to just, you know, like consume English in like a more casual way than they did like, you know, like learning English at school.
There's so many people I know like that are like Spanish or like somewhere in Europe, and they're like, yeah, I learned Spanish through, or I learned English through Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
I learned English through Friends. like just from watching it, that that's how they learned it, which I think is just so impressive. I will say this, that like people, I'm so impressed with anyone I meet from like whose language, their first language isn't English, and they're just like so amazing at it, which is like nearly everyone, every expat that I've met in Spain is just like naturally fluent in like three or four different languages. But I think they have a slight advantage with learning English, because English, it takes up most of the Western media, I would say. Like all of like the most popular songs are in English, all of the most popular movies and TV shows, like in the cinema here, nearly every cinema or nearly every movie is in English. So I think they're a bit more exposed to the language. Like that is one of maybe the biggest deterrents with learning a language in Ireland or like somewhere like Ireland, where you really have to go out of your way to consume the media of the target language. It's not like, it is, they have a slight advantage there. Is there anything else for the oral exam that you would, any tips that you have for people to like do the best that they can in that section?
Yes, the one tip that I have to like give for the oral, but then also like for the rest of the exam as well, is that you do not need to be like a language person to do really, really well in a language exam. Because like a lot of it is like, you know, putting in effort into like learning the vocabulary and like really like drilling your grammar and everything. But another part of it is actually like knowing how to approach the exam itself. And so for example, like I am proud to say that whenever it comes to like oral exams, like I tend to do like really, really well, because my methodology is always that as soon as we are allowed to like open our exam papers and look at the questions, that is exactly what you need to be doing. You need to like really like ignore absolutely everything else as soon as you can open this paper and like really like zone in on what are the questions asking you. Even if you aren't hearing the oral tape just yet, you should not be like looking around the classroom. Instead, like I always take a biro or like a highlighter and I quickly just underline the key words in each question, because that can even like give you an indication or like a little hint as to like what to expect from the tape as soon as it starts playing. And this is particularly useful as well, like I would say, like for every oral exam, do you like underline quickly the keywords? Because say, for example, if the tape is going really quickly and you get like a little bit lost, this way you don't need to panic, because you see like when the question, say, for example, that will ask you about the news will come up, then you know, like as soon as you're hearing anything relating to the news on the tape, that this is the part of the exam that you're at. This is the part of the question that you should be like looking at.
Yeah, absolutely. And if the question is in English and you see like keywords like scribble over, whether it's, you know, French or German, like, or you're like, they're like, what is like the weather like today? So you would like write the temps, is it in French? Tiempo in Spanish. Yeah, there's so much you can do to like really like be in the best position that you can be as soon as that tape starts playing.
And remember as well is that like you won't get like, you won't lose any marks for like guessing an answer, so do never like leave any like a part of the like oral questions completely blank. Like you can 100%. Kind of like, once you hear the entirety of the oral tape and you see the questions, you can kind of sometimes almost guess what the answer like might be.
If you're practicing loads of oral questions, especially on study clicks, shout out, you will see the same stuff come up again and again. So actually really familiarize yourself with the marking schemes and how stuff is spelled, because you do get marks for spelling. I know in Irish anyway, I imagine probably in the other languages as well.
But then also remember as well is that like, even if you are a little bit worried for like the oral side of things, like if you're nervous about taking like an oral exam with like the examiner, remember that you get marks for like all these like different parts of the exam. So even if like maybe your speaking skills aren't the best, you can still pick up loads of marks from the listening part of the exam, the comprehension part of the exam, and everything. Yeah,
100%. And speaking of, will we move on to the reading comprehension section?
Yeah, sure.
What is your number one advice for the reading comprehension?
Oh my gosh, I will sound like a broken record, because I say this for like the German exam, the English exam, like for like any exam where you have to like do a reading comprehension, is that you should absolutely always, always read the questions first. Yeah. Because the thing about doing this is that it kind of like gives you a better gist of what you should look out for when you are reading the text. So, you know, if you read the questions first, you'll have those in the back of your mind. And then when you actually go to like do the reading comprehension, you can almost like spot the answers like within it. So you can like underline them or highlight them, and then it'll make doing this part of the exam much faster.
I would also say like, and I know it's so classic, it's just like the parent advice, but like it's the reason they keep saying it is because it's always relevant, is read the question like twice.
Yes.
If not three times. And highlight the main points. So, you know, And I would say definitely use StudyClicks because obviously all the reading comprehensions are there, whatever language that you're doing, and they're broken up topic by topic. I suppose this is actually a good point to talk about our relatively newish tool that was added to StudyClicks recently. And Gabrielle did a really good explainer video about it that I was complimenting her on earlier. Tell us about like how answer guidance on StudyClicks can help you get started on reading comprehension questions.
Yeah, so basically answer guidance, you can find it on the StudyClicks site, beside where you'd find the marking schemes. So, you know, whenever you click into a subject and then you click into a topic and then within that topic, you'll see a bunch of questions. So for some of the language topics, you'll actually, beside the marking scheme button, you'll see an answer guidance button. So when you'll click answer guidance, you'll see things like, you know, how to get started with this question, explain command words and phrases, or translate key vocab and verbs. So essentially, like this tool, it isn't like writing the answer for you, but it's kind of, if you're struggling to like get started with like answering like a reading comprehension question, it will give you some tips and tricks for how to get started. And it's really, really useful. I wish I had it when I was like doing my leaving cert.
It's also been like weekly, we're acknowledging that AI is here and it's part of our world now. But how can we use it in a way that like is actually helpful to students and not like telling them exactly what to do? So then like they're totally lost then in the exam when they don't have AI. So that is like the AI guidance or like the answer guidance tool that we have is specifically like to help you help yourself.
Yeah.
And it'll help you get better at future questions. That's the aim of it anyway.
For sure. And the one thing to note as well is that like, you know, typically AI, it doesn't understand your subject. It doesn't know what all these like different things are. So what this like tool is made out of is like based on actual like marking schemes and input from expert teachers. So there isn't anything like, you know, okay, I won't say that there isn't anything incorrect because like, you know, there's always like a small chance of it.
Of course,
But it's all based on, you know, like actual like exam materials. So it's not going to hallucinate and tell you like, you know, like how to make a cake when you're asking for, tips for the reading comprehension or something.
Yeah, we worked with great teachers who like really, that was kind of like the center of what like developing this tool is just like, it really, we need input from teachers on like how this is actually going to help. But at the end of the day, of course, like there is nothing that is a replacement for like a human or a teacher talking to you or like your own brain solving this question. So that's, it's more like an aid rather than something that just does something for you. And it's really great. Congratulations to the many people at StudyClicks who worked on it. It's really, really brilliant. And we've gotten some really nice feedback on it. So if you're listening to this and you haven't used it yet, definitely try it out and see if it is something that you found helpful. Particularly some of the specific feedback we got is that it was really helpful for French, I think it was. So definitely go check it out.
And also, if you really want to get better at like the reading comprehensions, like I don't want to sound like a parrot, like repeating the same thing as before, but really you should also be looking out for different ways to expose yourself to like, you know, like written Spanish, written French, you know, be reading like different things. Like at the minute, I've been really enjoying the subreddit, our anatomy down sec. So it's basically the anatomy of a bag. So the whole like premise of it is that like French speaking people, they like take a picture of their bag and all the different like items that they have in the bag. And then people like make like assumptions about the person, like, oh, I think you are someone living in Paris and you work in tech, but you like go to like a book club meeting on the weekends or that sort of stuff. And it's absolutely like hilarious to like read through, particularly when people say like, oh, this is super accurate or it isn't accurate. Yeah,
that's so cool.
Yeah, it's so like amusing. Yeah,
there's so many silly little things out there now that are like developed to, or just not specifically with language learning in mind, but like that with the age of the internet, there's so many little different niche communities and things like that.
Yeah.
The main way of just getting better at reading comprehensions is practicing as much as you can. I think we were saying this before as well, that like people, because we will get to them at the end, but we did ask for questions from our Instagram followers ahead of recording this podcast, and a lot of the type of questions were just like, how do you do this when you don't know anything? Or like, how am I going to be able to like speak French in the oral exam when I how will I memorize or learn off this? And it comes back to the point I made earlier of like, you know so much more than you think you do.
100%.
And like any little thing that you can do to like improve your language will definitely help. One of my favorite things, and I never did it during the Leaving Cert, it was a tip Emer gave to me afterwards, was it's a really good idea to maybe make a group chat with your friends that is specifically for talking in a language. You had maybe your own WhatsApp group, and then you had like na Colleeni Oscuaga, and then you just talk about what you would normally talk about but in Irish, and you are like having to like look up what you want to say, but like you're learning vocab, you're learning like that is like improving. You're like, okay, that's how you say that. That's kind of you're absorbing all of that, but you're talking with your friends and you're learning a language. That was one of my. There's lots of little tips like that. Do you have any other ones of just like kind of naturally absorbing a language, like things that you can change in the world around you?
Honestly, like I'm not sure whether it's like completely relevant for like the reading comprehensions, but I know that like getting your friends involved is such a fun way of like studying a language. Like you might like kind of think like, oh, like my friends will like think I'm cringe if I say like, oh, let's make like a group chat, you know, like for us to like speak in Irish or this language. But you'd be so surprised at like how down people would be to like do little things like this.
Yeah.
Like for myself, I really, really wanted to do well in my German oral exam because I was in that era where I really wanted to like be good at like a German. And it was crazy. And I asked like some like friends in my class if they would be down to like meet up on a Saturday to like go to a cafe and go through like our Bildergeschichte or like Rollenspiel, like all of these different things. And they were down, like nobody said like no, go away. Which yeah, so, yeah. So if you do want to like, you know, like put yourself out there and do like practice your language with other people, I'd really recommend just even like I would recommend going for it. But also particularly if you have some friends in like different schools, that they could be like really interesting to have like a group chat or to like, you know, like go and see, because like the notes that they get from their teacher, I'm assuming, will be quite different to the notes that you have from yours. So as you like communicate with each other, you can like learn new phrases and learn new different things like that.
Yeah.
Leaving Cert Irish can be tough, but StudyClick's Irish Boost makes it easier. Over 140 exam-focused video lessons covering grammar, essay writing, and oral prep, along with 300-plus interactive exercises to sharpen your skills. It's everything you need to feel confident heading into Paper 1 and 2. And for podcast listeners, here's €10 off. Just use podcast10 at checkout. Go to studyclicks.ie and get the extra help you need before the Leaving Cert.
The last one before we move on to the oral, the kind of the dreaded oral, is obviously the written exam with, you know, the essays and things like that. And you had a lot of points here because you're like, this is, I made mistakes here and I don't want other people to make them too. So yeah, what's your advice?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, with the written part of the exam, like I found like the listening comprehension, the reading comprehension, and the oral is fine. But for some reason, the written exam is always like the one that I like struggled with the most. But I did manage to like learn how to approach it well and to become good at it. So I really want people to like listen up when I say that like this is not the opportunity to be creative in what you like write down for the written part of the exam. Like if you want to be creative, like do Leaving Cert Irish instead, because here the most important thing is that the language that you use is clear and that the examiner knows exactly like what you're saying and you're spelling everything right. Some people might think that like to get a H1 you need to use the most complicated phrases and these like, you know, like funky pieces of vocabulary, but really like you can go so far by using simple phrases, clear grammar, and the examiner will find it really easy to give you marks for that, as opposed to like if you try to, you know, write down a word that you don't know how to spell, they're not going to give you like so many marks for that if you spell it wrong, you know.
Of course. Yeah
And honestly, like because I found it like the most like trickiest part of the exam, I'd also recommend like actually look at like what the written questions are asking you at the very, very start of the exam.
Yeah.
So that you can kind of like subconsciously think about what you want to write as you'll be doing like other parts of the exam.
Yeah, exactly. Like you will read that French question and you're like, right, I'll come back to that later. But then you're doing the rest of the paper and you're reading French and it's just like your mind is like slowly, or your brain is like, right, we're in French mode now.
Yeah.
And it's like you are subconsciously thinking about the written exam questions while you're doing that one.
Exactly. Yeah. But then also like make sure that you don't like rush into answering this question like straight away. You can definitely afford yourself some time to like think about what you want to say, or maybe make like small little notes in like on the exam paper itself of like what you want to like say, because there's nothing worse than like rushing into like writing it and then realizing, oh, I could have like said this better, or I could have written this better instead.
Yeah, 100%. So we move on to the final section, or it's actually the first. It's the first part of the exam that you will do. And depending on what language, it could be 25%. It could be 40% if you're doing Irish. And that is, of course, the oral exam. It's like, no question, it is the most nerve-wracking aspect of the exam. And that is only because like we just build it up to be. It's just the idea of having to talk to a stranger in a language that isn't your first. That is so, so daunting. And my number one tip that I would say for the oral exam is just like, whatever you can prepare, get that down. Like, perfect that. So if that's Irish, you are nailing the fall too. You know exactly how to say like your name, your age, your exam number, those 5 points. You know how to, you know the Shropshire Tours really well. If it's French, you get that document down, you know? And like, and I would say for these things, record yourself saying them, like practice them and record them. I think sometimes the recording thing is great because sometimes you actually don't realize how you sound until you listen back. And hopefully if you have a good relationship with your teacher that you can send the recording to them and like ask them for their tips on that. But I think with the oral exam, there's so much that it's quite hard to prepare because like it's a conversation and you don't, like you can prepare to a certain extent, you know the general topics that they're going to ask, but it's still quite like, that's where a lot of nerves come from. You're like, what are they going to ask me? You know that they're going to ask you the faulty. You know they're going to ask you like whatever language, like every language has their specific things. Get that down.
Yeah, but there are also like so many phrases that you can learn off even before the exam and you can use them no matter like what is being asked. You know, like for example, in the German exam, you'll almost always be asked about the future. So before you even start answering the question, you can say things like, das ist schwer zu sagen, denn man kann diese Zukunft nicht voraussehen, which means that is hard to say because one cannot predict the future. So like even if you like learn that off, like no matter like what question you're going to be asked, you might get a couple of extra marks for just like saying that before anything else.
Yeah, the like the starter sentences, the filler sentences, like the sentences to buy you time, have those down. And they can really save you because people are, a question that we get a lot is just like, what do I say in the oral exam when like they ask me a question that I don't know? And it's just like, well, it comes back to the main point of like, the oral exam is obviously an exam, but it's also a conversation. And you have to kind of imagine for a second that you're not speaking in French or Spanish, you're speaking in English, right? And if someone is asking you a question and you don't know the answer, if you're having a conversation in English, you're not going to try and answer it. Mm-hmm. Like if someone's just like, and did you see the match last night? And they'd be like, oh, I didn't watch the match last night. You know, like that's no. Normal. Like that's, you have to kind of take yourself out of like the examiner situation. Cause like when you're in exam, it's that mindset that you have that like, if I'm asked a question, I have to answer it. But in the oral exam, you can say, oh, I don't know anything about that. But I can tell you about this. So that, like that phrase, I don't know much about that, but I can tell you about this. Mm. Know that in every language. I know in Irish, it's like, O'Neill Moran, is the gum Queen Overton, Och, is Fredelman Quine Precio. And if they ask you a question and maybe like you do know the answer, but you want to buy yourself a bit of time, like that's like knowing those sentences as well is really helpful. Do you have some examples in French? I'm trying to think of some in Irish when you're just like, or, you know, like, oh, shin kesh ma, kahig me, like, kahig me smunabrishin, like, I have to think about that.
You can say something like, il m'est très difficile de donner un avis sur ce sujet, mais it basically means like, oh, it's difficult for me to give an opinion on the subject, but, you know, like, and then you can follow up with like something maybe.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. That sounded great, okay. By the way.
Thank you. Because at the end of the day, like the examiner like really doesn't care like if you lie about saying that you go to like the Linsnava every single like weekend or, you know, like they it's not like they really, really want to talk about like the match. They just want to test you to see whether you can, you know, like answer questions and communicate in the language that you're like speaking. So you can definitely take the liberty of like steering the conversation to like topics that you have prepared in advance.
Yeah, because like the examiner is going to throw out random topics and they could like talk about sports and like, and then they'd be like, I'm just like defaulting to Irish now, but they'd be like, in sport. And if they asked me that, I would have been like, oh, not really, you know, so I would have been able to like, oh yeah, Neil Moran, like Neil make, I'm kind of panicking now because I haven't been, my Irish is rusty, but I would be saying like, oh, Neil McGimmer sports, it's tossing McGon secure. So like not sports, but music, you know, that kind of a way. It's like, you are not, it is a conversation. If you don't know it, just, yeah, know how to redirect it. It's one of the most like important things. When you say there that like the goal is communication, mm-hmm. I come back to like this moment that I had in my French oral that like still haunts me. That is, so I remember the day before the exam, we had a different teacher came in for French. And I remember she was so good. And we were like, oh my God, I wish we had her the last 2 years. No offense to my other French teacher. But I remember she like randomly gave us like a load of vocab. And I remember one of the words was bourse. I think that's right. You can maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but it was the French for grant. And I remember learning that. And then in the French oral exam, then the next day, because I go to a Gaelic school or I went to a Gaelic school, they were like, what are the advantages of going to a Gaelic school? And I got it in my head that I was like, oh, I can say you get, sometimes you get grants. And then I was like, okay, right. What was that word I learned yesterday? And I swear there was probably about like a 10 second gap of silence where I was just trying to think of the word that I had learned yesterday. Right. And this is something now that I'm trying to get over when I'm learning Spanish as well, that I think it's one of the biggest barriers with language learning is that someone says something to you in the language and then obviously if English is your first language, English is going to be what you're thinking in. So you're like, right, this is what I want to say in English. I need to translate that and then say that. That's not what you should do when you're learning a language. The goal is communication. If you can get the sentiment that you want across, then you should say that. So like me stuck in the exam, like I was so determined to try and remember what this word was yesterday because I was like, that's going to sound so good that I remembered the French for grant. But instead, I just had the second silence and then I can't remember what I did. But like when really I should have said like, you get money. I was just like, I know the French for money. I should have just said like, you get money from the government. That's the same. Like, so that's like one of my biggest things is just like, do not get bogged down in like trying to translate stuff directly. The goal is communication. If you can just get them to understand the gist of what you're trying to say, like if we get stuck on a word, be like, how is there another way of saying that? It doesn't need to sound flowery. And I would say this as well. When you get so nervous about the oral exam, you're like, oh my God, it's such a daunting thing to have to speak in another language. And like this person is going to like, the examiner is going to be like judging me. I will say this. You are like a teenager, presumably listening to this. You've been learning the language. It could be 2 years. It could be 5 years. You're not, and you're also, sorry, I would say this, you're also studying maybe 6 or 7 other subjects. You're not going to be fluent in a language. You're just not, like, exactly. unless you have, like, you've been studying at home, like maybe you have a parent who's like, you know, if you have a French parent, like your French is better, you know, that kind of thing. But if you've, like, if you're picking up a language at like 13 or later and you're not, and I'll say this as well, it's something that's, I wish that they had it more in the classroom in Irish schools, is a center around conversation practice. I did feel like that was lacking. So like, if you're not getting enough conversation practice, you're not going to be amazing. You are going to be, most likely, you're going to be average. And that is the examiner is expecting someone who's doing their best.
Yes, exactly. I think like just like showing up and doing your best is much better than like being panicked about like not like pronouncing things right or like not like, you know, communicating enough. I think it's so obvious when like, you know, you come in and it seems like you want to put in effort. You want to like attempt like to like speak as much as you can, because there's nothing worse for an examiner when they're like sitting in front of the student and the student is not talking, you know, it just makes it awkward for the examiner as well. They really want to give you as many marks as possible. And it's part of their job as well to kind of like push you to like speak as much as you can. So if they see that you're getting like really stuck on a specific topic, it's very unlikely that they're going to be mean and they're going to like force you to talk about like these specific things. They're going to want to like make you speak as much as possible. That is a part of their job. So even if you do, you know, get stuck for about like 10 seconds or whatever, it isn't the end of the world. There's going to be another topic coming right up afterwards. So I'll be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that as well. Like the examiner, they are so sound. They are always like the nicest of the nicest. Like they are, it's part of their training to put students at ease, because they deal with like, you have to shed your kind of main character syndrome a little bit and think about, right, this examiner is listening to not just me, they're listening to like 30 other students talk about, like they're going to meet a varying different like abilities of people being able to speak a language. Mm-hmm. And they are, but like it is, they are going to be meeting so many nervous people, and they know like the first like 5 minutes of an exam is just like they're going to ask you nice questions, they're really going to ease you into it, they're going to be really nice. So don't worry about that bit. And they like they will really, like, you will be nervous. That's so inevitable. You will absolutely be nervous.
100%, yeah. Examiners really on your side. They want to give you as many marks as possible.
Yeah, 100%. They are so rooting for you. I will say this, actually. If you want a kind of idea of what an oral exam is going to be like, on StudyClicks in Irish Boost, so to explain, if you don't know what Irish Boost is, in certain subjects we have Boost, which is like additional support, like additional learning. It's kind of like our answer to Grinds, kind of self-learning. So we have it in maths and biology and Irish and junior term maths as well. And it basically, for Irish, for the oral section, we have like, we recorded like mock oral exams with an actual estate examiner, Cliona Daly. She's a legend. I love her. She's so nice. So you see this from start to finish, someone walking in and like giving their exam number, and like that it's the Irish example. So obviously it's like you have the fall two at the beginning. So if you want to see an example of like, you know, what an examiner is going to be like, how it's going to go, definitely go check that out. You can so with Boost, for all the subjects, the first two videos in every topic are free. So if you go on to StudyClicks and you go on to Irish, you'll find it there. But we also, I believe we have it up on our YouTube as well. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. We have a full oral exam up on our YouTube channel that goes from the very beginning when the examiner opens the door and you come in to sign your name and then the fall tool and everything.
Yeah, 100%.
I really wish that I had this when I was like doing my leaving cert, so that I could like have an idea of like how it was going to work and everything.
Yeah.
Because before then I had only like practiced with my teacher, but it wasn't in like such an like an exam like sort of setting.
Yeah.
So that would have been useful to see.
It's the big unknown as well when you haven't done it before. So yeah, I think that video is really helpful to see as well. Any other tips for... we said don't be afraid to be cringe.
Really, don't be afraid to be cringe. Like that is like that's something you really, really should remember, because the examiner wants to see you make an effort and like to like use as much as you can.
Yeah, like and like no one's gonna be hearing you in the exam. It's just you and the examiner. So be like, if you're in French, go like Allah or whatever that is. Like you know, just like do like
exactly
put it on the show. Like even that effort will get you marks. You just gotta move past the embarrassment of being like, okay, but I'm an Irish person, and I'm like, if me going like he's like trying to sound French is kind of embarrassing. I'm sure, have you ever seen like those videos of like Ronan O'Gara? The rugby player, he like managed the French team for a while.
Yes.
And he just like made zero effort to drop the Cork accent when he was talking in French. Like it's very funny and like they can understand him, but it's just like try like adapt your like do the flares. That's part of it as well. The examiner will be impressed. So yeah, like we said, like you were cringe, but you were free.
yes.
To finish out the podcast, like I said earlier, we put a question box up on our Instagram last night ahead of recording this, saying, asking for people's questions on this topic. So we're just going to go through a few of them now and answer them. So one of the first ones that we got is, how do I improve my vocab for the German section?
So for the like German exam, what I would say is that you're always improving your vocab, like no matter what you're doing, if you're practicing the reading comprehensions or you're doing like the oral questions, like you really don't realize like how much vocab you know without like being conscious of knowing it. So I would like recommend like, you know, continue doing all of your homework that you are assigned, you know, like do like go through the past exam paper questions in German, because the vocab, I think, like tends to kind of repeat itself. So if you go through like say like all of the past like, you know, reading comprehension questions, then you're gonna start to notice that the vocab is repeating there.
I'd say as well, have a vocab book. I don't know, some teachers might do this. I know our one did that. We just had like a separate copy book just for vocab, and we added to it every day, and like, you know, like the French was in blue and like the English was in it's Irish. I blow people's minds when I say that we're going to a girls' school that I learned French through Irish. yeah, so you have like the translation on one side and then you're just going back over it regularly. What I find helpful, because well, like it's with me with Spanish now, I don't keep a book because I constantly have my phone on me, so I just keep it on a note on my phone. So I'd say obviously you probably don't have your phone in the classroom, but I think that's really helpful because I have that on my phone, and then whenever I hear a new word, I write it down. And then I go back over it. I say this like when I don't have internet, I go into the notes app on my phone and I'm just kind of constantly revising it. So you have a vocab book and you keep going back to it. And I think that's it, the repetition. If you're constantly coming back, you are just automatically drilling it in. And like that point you said earlier, you know so much more than you think you do. Like, please don't underestimate yourself. Every time you go into class and you're learning, like you are always improving. So don't doubt yourself at all. Another question that we got is, can you ask for a different question in the oral exam?
I would say that, like, if you understand the question being asked and if you can kind of answer it, I would say, like, go on ahead with it. And then, like I said, like, earlier, you can kind of, like, after you've kind of answered it, you can kind of, like, move the conversation to a different topic. So, for example, if the examiner asks you, oh, what did you do during the weekend, but you want to talk about your family, you can say, oh, I woke up at this time, my family went into the car, I went to the beach, my family, and then you can kind of talk about your family like that. So, like, you do kind of, like, answer the question, but then you're kind of, like, moving the conversation in a certain direction. However, if you do not understand whatsoever what the examiner has asked you, I think there's no harm in asking them to rephrase the question so that you understand it better. Yeah,
100%. I know we touched on that a little bit before about, like, the phrase that you say of like, I don't know much about that, but I can talk about this. Like, you could completely change the topic just by having the right language to say that. And that actually reminded me of another oral exam anecdote for me. Is I remember in the Irish oral exam, I remember it was going well. Like, I won't, like Irish, I had an advantage, obviously, of going to a girls' school, so Irish was a bit stronger for me. So the oral exam was going well. And, you know, that thing of, like, they test you a little bit, so they ask you a harder question if it is going well. And I remember I was talking, like, it was such a like, 0 to 100 moment of, I was talking about, like, my summers in Dingle, like having spent them, like, in my childhood. And then she just asked me, do you think Dingle has an alcoholism problem? Which is so out of pocket.
Crazy.
I was just, like, crazy from her, to be honest. Yeah. But I, like, in that moment, I was like, this is an exam. So, and she asked me a question, so I have to answer the question. Whereas, like, if she asked me that question, and if we were having a normal conversation in English and she asked me that, I'd be like, girl, what? I would be like, Colleen, God. I wouldn't recommend doing that to the examiner, but just being like, I didn't know the answer to that question, but I still tried to answer it. So, like, don't get stuck in that moment. Like, you, like, if you were asked a question and you genuinely don't know the answer, it is correct to say, I don't know that, like, in the language. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, nihilistic completion, or, like, don't, like, you can, you are able to control so much of it, and the examiner expects you to as well. So, yeah, don't be afraid to lead it yourself. Another question we got is, what do I do if I have a really bad French teacher?
In terms of, like, having a really bad French teacher, it seems like, you know, there's so many different ways to teach a language that some teachers use different methods than others. But honestly, there's so much language learning content online that you're really, like, if the techniques that your teacher is using don't really work for you, that you can definitely go online and, like, use different resources that we kind of went through throughout, like, the podcast episode. Look at this. Yeah.
That's what we were saying before. Like, it is one of the best, a language subject is actually one of the best subjects for self-learning. All the tips we have are, like, for support, ways that you can support yourself in the language learning outside the classroom. But because, like, people learn languages, they have to all the time. And there is so much that you can do to learn a language, even if you kind of, I was going to say, you don't vibe with your teacher. I was like, can I say something? Can I say that a bit more eloquently? Yeah. If your learning style is not compatible with your teacher's style, that there is a world of resources there, like everything that we already mentioned. So yeah, use all of that. And definitely, it's a shame, absolutely. We have that all the time. Like, there's some, I obviously had teachers in school like that I thought were kind of, they clicked me more than others, and you just, that is unfortunate that you have to kind of work that little bit harder, but like I said, yeah, language is really well suited to that, because it's a lot of the work that you put in yourself really helps you get better at it.
Of course. Yeah. And even if you want in your own time to go, like, practice some, like, written composition questions, you could always, like, you know, do that in your own time and ask the teacher to correct it to make sure that all of everything that you're saying is right. And
the last question we'll take then is, how to learn off oral paragraphs?
I think it's really difficult to learn off, like, paragraph after paragraph after paragraph, because that's not really how you learn a language. What you can do instead is, like, break up the paragraphs into, like, maybe questions. This is something that I really love to do. So instead of, like, having, like, you know, a long paragraph about, like, what you did over the weekend, you can break it up into, like, what did I do in the morning? What do I typically like to do in the weekend? And make them, like, quite, like, more concise. Because then when you're in the exam, you know, you can, like, think of those key points as opposed to trying to recite an entire paragraph.
Yeah, I would say, obviously, I know it's what a lot of people are going to do if like, okay, I don't know the language, but I can memorize sounds and then say them back. But that can, it can go pear-shaped in the exam, because obviously if you just like forget it, then you could end up getting really flustered, especially when it comes to the Shropshire Tours in Irish. It's such a huge undertaking. There are paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs. Like, that's, it's not a good way of going about it. I know it seems like the easier one, but it's not. Do go to bullet points, have your bullet points, and then kind of know the basic structure of a sentence and then figure out how to slot them in. But learning off paragraphs, I know it's what a lot of people do, but I personally can't recommend it, because I think it ends up putting more pressure on you in the long run.
Absolutely. And remember that the oral exam isn't even that long, so you might not have the time to recite many different paragraphs about different topics.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Gabrielle, I feel like we've been talking for a long time. This is like the longest episode of the Psychics podcast ever. I hopefully people will listen to it, because I think there is lots of good advice in it. Yeah, I suppose like to kind of round off, as we've been talking there, I'm kind of like, what are the main takeaways that I would ask for people to have in this podcast, or from this podcast? And it would be, don't underestimate how much you know. Don't underestimate how much, even if like the time is getting kind of shorter and shorter depending on when you're listening to this, between now and exams, there is so much that you can do. Like all the resources that we mentioned, just take them all in, find the ones that like you like. If we mention something but it's not to your taste, like there's something else definitely out there for you.
I would say the one thing that I would like students to take away from this like podcast episode is that it really doesn't matter whether you find languages easy or, you know, if you find them a little bit trickier. Like, there is a method to doing really well in language subjects regardless of where you're at. So I would say just put in your best effort. I mean, your oral examiner is going to like see that really clearly when you like come in and you make an effort to answer all the questions. You're going to do much better by like putting in some effort as opposed to just like showing up and not saying anything. And when it comes to the like actual exam paper itself, it's like really don't underestimate like how much you know. Kind of as you said, Nessa, you know, you already know like so much, and really have faith in yourself. And
yeah, people, we get it a lot that people are like, oh, I'm just like not a languages person, like in the same way like, oh, I'm not a maths person. Like, yeah, for sure there are people who our quote unquote languages person, like I feel like maybe you and like my sister Emer, who can speak four languages, are like have a natural flair for languages, but like everyone can learn a language the same way that I had to learn to drive. You just have to, you practice anything enough, you will get it. So, and like we said, don't underestimate everything that you already know, and like try, if you're really like, the motivation is there, you want to be the translator, you want to be that helpful person when you're trying to like bring two people together. If you just are consistent with it and you really want to, you're going to get there. You got this.
You got this. 100%.
You got this. I feel like that's a good way to round it up. And yeah, after the oral exam, last tip, plan something for yourself really nice after, like whether that's like a dinner with your friends or something like that, so that you have something to focus on in the future after the oral exam. That's one of my, whenever I'm nervous for something, I always plan something really nice afterwards. So
yeah, that's a good idea.
6 years, a hard year, you got to do everything you can to treat yourself. So I hope everyone who's listening to this, whatever year you're in, that you recognize that like learning a language on top of all your other subjects is not an easy thing to do, and to give yourself credit, you're amazing. Do what you can, take what you find helpful from this, and yeah, I think that's it. Gabrielle, thank you so much for joining me on this special edition of the Psychics podcast.
Maybe we'll join forces again
On some other topic. But anyway, if you've made it this far in the podcast, thank you so much. There's also a treat for podcast listeners. If you use the code podcast10 when upgrading on Psychics, it'll give you €10 off. And I don't know, if you found this podcast helpful, please share it with a friend. It's the easiest way for us to grow. And I'd say now on Spotify, and I think you can get it on Apple Podcasts as well, you can get notifications so that like when an episode drops, you get a notification, which is really helpful. And yeah, rate and review, I guess, all that jazz. I'm not sure, we haven't got a review in a while, but so if you want to be the first to do that, you'd make me really happy. All right, Gabrielle, thank you so much.
Thank you too. Bye.
Bye.